بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The story of Muslim Spain. Al-Andalus refers to the territory occupied by the Muslim Empire in southern Spain. This civilization spanned the 8th to the 15th century. In 711, Arabs crossed the Strait of Gibraltar, derived from Jabal al-Tariq, or the Mountain of Tariq. They established control over much of the Iberian Peninsula, which is divided between Portugal and Spain. It also includes Andorra and a small part of France, as well as Gibraltar. Muslims called the area of the Iberian Peninsula they occupied Al-Andalus, meaning to become green in summer. Within just 3 years, Muslims had occupied almost the entire peninsula. Muslim rule was established in Sicily for 130 years. The Muslims who arrived and settled in Andalus were called Moors. This was a corrupt and negative term referring to the people who had come from Morocco. Under the leadership of Tariq ibn Ziyad and his army of 12,000 troops, Muslims took control. King Roderick, the last Visigoth ruler, had reportedly kidnapped and raped the governor of Ceuta, Count Julian's daughter, who was sent to be educated. Julian vowed to Roderick, "The next time I return to Spain, I promise to bring you some hawks, the like of which your majesty has never seen." Julian, a Christian, had appealed to Musa ibn Nusayr, the Umayyad governor of North Africa, for assistance in avenging Roderick for his crime and hence take him out of rule. The Visigoth kingdom was already weakened due to internal conflicts, and the Muslims, with their organization, easily defeated Roderick's army of over 90,000 men. Tariq ibn Ziyad crossed the Strait of Gibraltar, at first with the sole intention of avenging King Roderick for the crime he had committed. However, because of the weakness of the kingdom due to civil war, Tariq opted to continue his occupation of Roderick's entire empire. Another theory for the occupation by the Arab Muslims is that because of their persecution, the Jews had called upon their contacts in North Africa, who in turn encouraged the able Arabs to capture Spain. Furthermore, the Jews supported and welcomed Muslims in Spain because they were great beneficiaries under Muslim rule. Muslims entered Spain not as aggressors nor oppressors, but as liberators. The golden age of Jewish history was in fact the period of Muslim rule in Spain. Islam allowed the Jews to flourish in Spain, for the example of the renowned philosopher Moses Maimonides, or rather Musa ibn Maimun. For the Muslim conquest began an age of freedom and tolerance for Jews. They freely entered the fields of government, science, medicine, and literature. Spain was home to the largest and most brilliant Jewish community in Europe. Everywhere else, they were hounded and persecuted. Although non-Muslims paid more in taxes than Muslims, it was still far less than what had been imposed on them by any previous government, especially Roderick's. Non-Muslims freely opted, and some even say longed, to live under Muslim rule. Throughout the centuries of Islamic rule, Al-Andalus was a remarkable model of tolerance. Such is the greatness of Islam that the tolerance the Muslims displayed towards the Jews and Christians enabled them all to live together in relative peace and harmony. All Jews and Christians were allowed to maintain their beliefs and live their lives as they desired. As a result of the compassion Islam displayed towards the non-Muslim inhabitants, many of them embraced Islam. Many also entered the fold of Islam simply because it provided a superior, healthier way of life at a time when the Western social system was in rapid decay. Muslim lenience toward those of other faiths was based on two Quranic verses. 1. No compulsion is there in religion. And 2. If thy Lord had willed, whoever is in the earth would have believed, all of them, all together. Wouldest thou then constrain the people until they are believers? In chapter 109 of the Holy Quran, the book revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, Allah advises mankind.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most beneficent, say to the disbelievers, I do not worship that which you worship, nor do you worship that which I worship, and nor will I worship that which you have worshipped, neither will you worship that which I worship. To you belongs your religion, and to me, mine.
With Islam being the dominant culture, the incredibly rich language of the Muslims became the official language of literature and scholarship in Spain for all by the year 1000. Christians, Jews and Muslims alike devoted their time in studying Arabic. Remarkably, Christians spoke Arabic often even better than their Latin. They absorbed the Arabic culture so much so that they began to be called Mos Arabs, a corruption of Musta'rib, meaning the Arabized ones. The Christian priest Alvaro complained in the 9th century, preferred to read Arabic writings and studied Muslim theologians and philosophers rather than their own. He's recorded as having exclaimed, "Oh, the pain and the sorrow! The Christians have even forgotten their own language, and in every 1,000 you will not find one who can write a letter in respectable Latin to a friend, while as soon as they have to write in Arabic, there's no difficulty in finding a whole multitude who can express themselves with the greatest elegance in this language." As Muslim presence illuminated the Iberian Peninsula, the rest of Europe was engulfed in darkness. And so Andalusia produced a great civilization far ahead and advanced than the rest of Europe.
Islam in Spain has had a great presence in the culture and history of the nation. From the year 711 until 1492, Islam was in the heart of Spain. During the Islamic Golden Age, philosophers, scientists, and engineers of the Islamic world contributed enormously to technology and culture, both by preserving earlier traditions and by adding their own inventions.
Under their rule, Muslims made Spain a center for learning and knowledge. The Muslims were taught reading, writing, mathematics, Arabic, Quran and Hadith, and became leaders in maths, science, medicine, astronomy, navigation and various other fields.
Amongst the products introduced from Andalus to the West, cotton, paper, mirrors, street lamps, salt, colored glass, silk, satin, pepper, cinnamon, handkerchiefs, deodorant, kerosene, linen, firearms, cotton bulbs, paper money, postage stamps, book binding, clocks, ceramic tiles, nitric acid, soap, compasses for navigation, rulers, surgical instruments, windmills, spinning wheels, rose water, map, globes, carpets, eyeglasses, curtains, test tubes, porcelain, fine furs, velvet, almanacs, and encyclopedias.
Al-Andalus became renowned for its prosperity as people who quested for knowledge journeyed from afar to learn in its universities under the feet of the Muslims. As a result, Andalus gave rise to a great many intellectual giants. Muslim Spain produced philosophers, physicians, scientists, judges, artists, and the like. Ibn Rushd or Averroes, Ibn Sina, Avicenna, Ibn Zuhr or Ibn Zohar, Al-Khwarizmi, Algorithm, and Al-Razi, Razors, to name a few, were all Muslim educated in Al-Andalus. It's from the Andalusian philosophers Ibn Rushd and Ibn Sina that renowned Christian men such as St. Thomas Aquinas had borrowed their philosophies. Both Aquinas and Dante called Ibn Rushd or Averroes the commentator and incorporated the views of Muslims. Dante himself was familiar with Muslim figures. Ibn Sina's work Al-Qanun, or Canon, the widely studied medical work, had been used in European universities for over 300 years and formed half the medical curriculum. The list of contributions from the Andalusian Muslims is endless. Much of Portugal had lived under Islamic rule for over 500 years, The intangible influence of those centuries of Islamic rule in Portugal, however, is immense. The Portuguese language is peppered with words of Arabic origin, often relating to food, farming, and manual work. One commonly used is Oxalah from Insha'Allah. And Alberto Alves, the country's best-known expert in the field, says if it was possible to wipe out all remnants of the Arab legacy from today's Portugal, its ethnic, cultural, physical and human landscape would be completely different. He says Portuguese might be blonde instead of dark-haired. They would stop speaking in the Arabized Latin called Portuguese, and Portuguese dictionaries would lose over 1,000 words. Many villages and towns would no longer exist or would have to change their names. Alves lists the areas where his country had been marked by its Islamic past. From poetry to pastries and carpet weaving, from the minaret-shaped chimneys to the navigational sciences that had allowed Portuguese ships to expand the boundaries of the known world, and the irrigation systems used to cultivate the Algarve's olive, fig and almond plantations. The Muslim introduction of new agricultural technology and plain hard work made Portugal prosper. Indeed, Portuguese is saturated with thousands of words of Arabic origin. The city we know of as Lisbon originates from the city once known as Al-Ishbun. Hundreds of place names in Portugal begin with Al, Arabic for thee. In fact, all across the Mediterranean, this is the case, from El Hierro in Sardinia to Algeciras or Al Jazeera in southern Spain. The Portuguese language continues to borrow many words from Arabic, such as azeituna, olives, jarafa, bottle. Others include azenha, watermill, from the Arabic al-saniya, and Nura, water well, from the Arabic Naura. It was the Umayyads, through skill, cleverness, and occasional ruthlessness, that laid the foundation for the splendor of Al-Andalus. Islamic civilization had reached its peak in the 10th century, and by the year 1100, the number of Muslims had risen to 5.6 million. There existed in Cordoba alone 200,000 houses, 600 mosques, 900 public baths, 10,000 lamps, 50 hospitals, lit and paved streets.
These contributions are a legacy in itself. Muslim developments and inventions helped Europe come out of the dark ages. Things had really fallen and Europe was not central to the world anymore. While non-Muslim historians refer to the dark ages of Europe, just in Western Europe you had this amazing state of Andalus, with cities like Cordoba.
Muslims introduced public baths because of their need to wash in preparation for prayer 5 times a day. Libraries and research institutions grew rapidly in Muslim Spain, while the rest of Europe remained illiterate.
Cordoba is a city in Andalusia, south of Spain. In the Middle Ages, it became the capital of an Islamic caliphate. It has been estimated that in the 10th century and beginning of the 11th century, Cordoba was the most populous city in the world, and during centuries became the intellectual center of Europe.
In Muslim Spain, knowledge from Greece and Rome was also preserved. Arab scholars produced encyclopedias on medicine and astronomy in the 11th century. Encyclopedias were also compiled on astrology, psychology, zoology, biology, botany, chemistry, physics, mathematics, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, etc. Christian scholars acquired and translated these encyclopedias. Toledo thrived essentially because of its Muslim rule and became the cradle of learning and the chief point of interaction between the Muslims, Christians, and Jews. Western scholars traveled to Spain and Sicily to learn Arabic and to make transcripts of texts in Latin. Muslims described over 200 surgical instruments and had named over 200 stars. Hence, it was this Islamic civilization in Spain that was the main threshold behind the European Renaissance. Muslim artisans applied their remarkable skills to architecture in constructing mosques and palaces, mastering techniques and design using geometry. The Alhambra Palace, The Great Mosque of Cordoba are just two of the famous magnificent architectural masterpieces of the Muslims, which can still be seen today. Of the Alhambra, it's written, a utopia, the brightest memory of a lost golden age of pleasure, poetry, tolerance, art and learning. One Muslim poet wrote,
a sun dwells in this place and even its shadow is blessed. In this palace a multitude of pleasures capture the eye and suspend the intellect. Here is a crystal world, teachers marvel. Everywhere beauty is carved, opulence is manifest.
The Islamic architecture in Spain is elaborate and decorative with intricate designs. Stone and stucco, plaster for coating exterior walls had been widely favored. Later, brick replaced stone.
Brickwork in relief was also used as a form of ornamentation, and the alternating of red and white brick keystones were common in arches.
The Mezquita, or Great Mosque of Cordoba, later turned into a cathedral, and the Alhambra of Granada are two Islamic monuments that utilize this design. There are now, however, few examples of Islamic architecture remaining in Spain. Many were destroyed or converted from mosques to churches when Muslims were later exterminated.
But something struck me as being strange. For the first time ever, I had entered a mosque that had a cathedral built in the center of it.
The Alhambra is the only palace left almost intact and preserved of all the Muslim masterpieces. Muslim artists were prohibited from making images of living things to prevent any chance of any idolatry. Narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever creates a living image in this world will be charged with putting a soul in it, which he will never be able to do. The focus of Muslim artists had been on the oneness of Allah. Despite the abstinence from painting figures of people and animals, Islamic art was far from lacking in beauty. Calligraphy was also developed into an art form in Muslim Spain. Islamic art is known for its repetitious patterns, a constant reminder of the uniqueness and unity of Allah. Calligraphical, floral, arabesque and geometric designs flourish in the Muslim world.
Other design characteristics brought from Syria by the Umayyads in the 8th century were decorative inscriptions of calligraphy running horizontally across walls or around doorways.
One poet says,
the city of Granada finds her equal not in Cairo, nor Damascus, nor Iraq. She is the bride, unveiled, while the others are just the dowry.
The Alhambra, known as the Red Fort or Red Palace, is located in the city of Granada, Ajarnata. It's called the Red Fort because of the red of the surrounding landscape. Alhambra comes from the Arabic word Alhamra, meaning the red. Muhammad al-Ghalib built the foundations of the Alhambra, while further construction was made by his son, Muhammad II. Inside and around the Alhambra are inscriptions of Arabic writing, such as, kingdom is for Allah, and there is no conqueror except Allah. The golden age of Islam began under Abdurrahman, the first Umayyad ruler, called the Falcon of Andalus. He united the various tribes and groups of peoples in Andalusia when he became Emir, or Khalif of Cordoba, in 756. Soon after he was proclaimed Emir, he laid plans to begin the construction of the Great Mosque of Cordoba. It was at one time the second largest mosque in the Muslim world. Al-Hakam, Abdurrahman's son, was responsible for extending the Great Mosque in 961 to 966. The mihrab of the Mosque of Cordoba was reportedly decorated with 320 bags of mosaic cubes, a mixture of Byzantine art along with Corinthian and Ionic pillars. Muslim Cordoba was described as the jewel of the 10th century. It was compared with Constantinople and Baghdad. Cordoba, Seville and Medina al-Zahra in the 10th century were the greatest centers of art and culture. In fact, Medina al-Zahra, the palace of the Khalif, was regarded as one of the wonders of that age. It was destroyed in the 11th century. Nevertheless, it was back in the Arab and Muslim worlds that Andalusian culture and society had their greatest impact, Many important contributors in Islamic intellectual history came from or worked in Islamic Spain. No account of the development of philosophy in Islam is complete without a discussion of Ibn Tufayl, who died in 1185, and of his pupil Ibn Rushd, who was born in Cordoba, became chief qazi or judge of Seville, and died in 1198. Ibn Rushd, known in the West as Averroes, made his most important contributions in his commentary on Aristotle, his refutation of Al-Ghazali's critique of philosophy, and his examination of the relationship between reason and religion. Much of Ibn Rushd's thought prefigured the work of Thomas Aquinas. In medicine, Al-Andalus produced scholars like Al-Zahrawi, who died in 1013. He had written extensively on surgery, pharmacology, medical ethics, and the doctor-patient relationship. Ibn Zuhr, known in the West as Avenzoar, a century and a half later was an advocate of clinical research and practical experimentation. In literature, Ibn Hazm expanded traditional romantic poetry with his Tawq al-Hamama, or the Dove's Necklace. The work expounds on the various forms of chivalric love and the joys and sorrows it produces. Muwashshah, form of poetry, passed from Al-Andalus into North Africa and influenced the development of the literature in the Maghrib. Some historians even suggest that Spain's Muslims arrived in America 500 years prior to Columbus. The year 956 would then seem accurate. America was the new world then, only to Europeans. If it were not for the maps of an Andalusian Muslim, Al-Idrisi, known to the West as Drises, Columbus wouldn't even have been able to sail. In addition, at least 30% of men brought into America with Columbus were Muslims. Muslim Spain was ruled by many dynasties. However, the 11th century marked the decline of the Umayyad Empire, which had ruled for some 300 years. In 1492, with the fall of the last Nasrid ruler in Granada, Andalus was finally taken by the Christian troops under Ferdinand and Isabella. Only Granada remained as the last Muslim stronghold. Muhammad XII, known as Abu Abdullah, was the last king of Granada who reigned. He signed a secret treaty in November 1491 for the surrender of Granada in January 1492. He was exiled while his people were left to be persecuted. It's said that his mother Aisha, unforgiving, said to her distraught and weeping son, "You weep like a woman for a city you could not defend like a man." The spot bears to this day the name of El Ultimo Suspiro del Moro, or the last sigh of the Moor. This is the land that Andalusian exiles refer to still as Paradise Lost.
An ocean of sadness raged inside us. Our hearts, desperate, burn with eternal flames. The city was so beautiful, with its gardens and rivers. The nights were imbued with the sweet fragrance of narcissus.
Isabella, in her fierce quest to eradicate Islam from Spain, issued decrees of mass conversions in her so-called holy war against the Muslims. Muslim prayers were forbidden. Mosques in their original splendor were destroyed and converted into churches. Muslims were forcefully converted to Christianity, fearing for their lives. In 1492, we also learn of the mass exodus from Spain due to the Inquisition ordered by Queen Isabella. Muslims were ordered to convert or be killed, while others who resisted were burned at the stake. An estimated 3 million Muslims were expelled from Spain, along with all of Spain's skilled workers and masterminds. Undoubtedly, Spain soon found herself victim to her own cruelty. The land, deprived of skillful irrigation of the Moors, grew impoverished and neglected. The richest and most fertile valleys languished, and most of the populous cities fell into ruinous decay. Beggars, friars, and bandits took the place of scholars, merchants, and knights. Spain fell hard after driving out the Muslims and was reduced to nothingness. According to one historian, the Arabs suddenly appeared in Spain like a star which crosses through the air with its light, spreads its flames on the horizon, and then vanishes rapidly into naught. Later kings had failed to implement the teachings of Islam. Internal divisions and personal conflicts amongst the corrupt Muslim leaders led to the end of Islamic rule at the hands of crusading Christians. As time went on, the inhabitants of Andalus, in the enjoyment of their prosperity and wealth, had become more materialistic. The first Muslims, however, affirmed the declaration of faith. There is no God except Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Peace be upon him. They prayed 5 times a day, fasted in the month of Ramadan, gave 2.5% of their wealth to charity, and performed the pilgrimage to Mecca if they had the means. Spain and the West will stand forever in the debt of Muslims. The Muslims were instrumental in making Spain a paradise on earth and issuing forth the Renaissance. One author says the intellectual community which the northern scholars found in Spain was so far superior to what they had at home that it left a lasting jealousy which was to color Western opinion for centuries. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the beauty of the righteous and the ranks of the elite, says, "Where are the great kings who built cities and castles and fortified them with towering walls? What happened to the lion-hearted valorous ones who made their enemies suffer humiliation in the battlefields? Time waned under their feet and they ended inside dark graves. Think of it and take heed." After the Umayyad rule, Andalus fell under different Muslim independently ruled areas and witnessed plenty of infighting, especially the rivalries that had weakened and divided Islamic Spain, the greed and self-indulgence that had gripped its elites, and the loss of a unifying religious vision. After the fall of Granada in 1492, most Muslims expected it to be a small setback. They thought Muslim armies from Africa would soon come to redeem the loss of Granada and to re-establish a Muslim state. The new Spanish monarchs, Ferdinand and Isabella, had other plans, however. They made their religious intentions clear early on. All manuscripts written in Arabic were burnt, except for the medical ones. Spanish government officials placed strict restrictions on the Moriscos to try to make sure they were not still secretly practicing Islam. Moriscos had to leave the doors to their homes open on Thursday nights and Friday mornings so soldiers could pass by and look in to make sure they were not bathing. Any Muslim caught reading the Quran or making wudu could immediately be killed. Spain's economy suffered greatly as a large part of the labor force was gone and tax revenues dropped in one of the greatest genocides Europe has ever seen. هنا الحب تبدى وابتدى أنس الوجود هنا قلب بقلب منتشن نشوى الورود هنا الحب